Well, I will let no minute pass without expressing my glee. North Carolina Tar Heels in the finals tonight against Villanova. I want to bring in Michael Bright. He is a partner at Eisner Amper joining us here in the studio. Listeners know my prediction for the outcome of this game. Before we get into it, Michael, yours?
I hate to do this to you, but I think I'm on the other side of Villanova. I know I'm letting you down.
It's interesting, though, in here. I wanted to ask you about the, you know, there's been this flurry of attention on college sports. Joe Nocera writing a book about the purported amateurism of college sports. I must say I watched these final
have
four
read,
games.
Have you read the book or any of the excerpts?
I haven't read the book, read the excerpts. A lot of good stuff there.
Joe Nocera of the New York Times.
Yes, columnist at the Times. I watched these games the other night. You just see the opening there, the projections on the court. I mean, it's so slick and sophisticated. It doesn't immediately bring to mind amateurism. This debate going to continue, you think?
Debate's going to continue for a long time. As you know, it's in the Court of Appeals right now, and it could go up to the Supreme Court. The NCAA makes the position, and they term it student-athlete. But when you have a multi-billion-dollar industry and labor isn't getting paid, it does bring that issue to the forefront. In my view, there will be some type of stipend, you know, for those players who play in the NCAA, you know, out of the tournament, in the finals, etc. And as we know, the case all emanated from Ed O'Bannon seeing himself on an electronic arts video and said, I'm not getting paid for my likeness. This doesn't make sense to me.
Ed O'Bannon, of course, great UCLA player, kind of had knee problems and trouble in a professional career. And also a younger brother who played in both with some moderate success in both the NCAA, in college, I should say, and in the NBA. But it's fairly amazing, this all this money flowing through and just staying away from the athletes, but showing up in the pockets of coaches, showing up with sneaker companies making so much money and everyone else now.
And I agree with that, because you look at the periphery and all the other people making money and obviously the companies. And, you know, you take a look at a $10.8 billion contract over 14 years with CBS and TBS sharing, you know, those rights. This is big business.
How much does the matchup itself matter when you look at how much money is being brought in here tonight? You've got a number one seed against Villanova. Just pointing that out for anybody who hasn't been following. Does it matter who's in it, or have we reached the point now where this is so hyped, it's such a big deal that it doesn't really matter in terms of revenues?
Well, there's always going to be a story. If Syracuse would have went and a 10th seed, there would have been a great story about Syracuse.
They didn't, I'll point out.
Yes, thank you. with Villanova and North Carolina, first of all, you have these story franchises. I mean, we go back to 1985 in one of the greatest upsets ever in college basketball history. You have North Carolina with Roy Williams going for another ring. So I think whoever comes into the tournament, remember, it started out as a field of not even 64, maybe 70 teams coming down. Any of those teams that would have made it this far would have been a great story. But without question, a Villanova-North Carolina matchup is absolutely terrific, because you have the size of North Carolina, you have the speed and defense of Villanova. So I think tonight is going to really be a fabulous game.
Indeed. As we look at this, too, what is the sort of – how do the finances change as we get towards the end? I mean, we know that in professional teams, of course, there are great big bonuses that get paid out. And that's also true when it comes to what the colleges get for doing this well, yes?
Yes, the conferences, you know, do get paid money far as you go. And I think, it only improves – please keep in mind that, you know, a lot of the universities do not make a lot of money from basketball. Maybe 3% of the universities.
Yale, for instance, probably.
Right. But, the NCAA makes, 90% of their money from March Madness. But how much trickles down to the university? Well, that's for, a lot of, actuaries to figure out in a lot of ways.
Just lastly here, if there were a stipend, as you say, if there were some payment structure for these players, do you think that that would have a measurable effect on retention? You see players still going to college for a year, maybe 2 years, leaving for the pros. Is this a simple way to incentivize staying in college, getting the degree?
I think it is. But, at the end of the day, a lot of the players, and again, so many few goes to the pros, but a lot of them are enamored with the wish that they could go to the pros and make a lot of money. And as we know, not many of them go to the pros. Only 2% go to the pros, even from the best teams in the league. So I think it will keep them on. But when you're talking about $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000, just not enough to them.
All right, Michael Bright, thank you very much. Partner with Eisner Amper. That's one of the leading sports advisory and accounting firms in the U.S. Of course, the big game tonight, UNC versus Villanova. Kicking off here shortly after 9 o'clock Eastern time. You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage on Bloomberg Radio. I'm David Gura in New York with Corey Johnson in San Francisco. More Bloomberg Advantage coming up after the break.